body. Sorry, I was hedging my bets. Yeah, wasn't sure about the Bible reading. Well, welcome to Brookside and our live stream today. It is great that you have been able to join us online or in person. Today we have a guest speaker, Christine Platt. She's going to come and share about some of her missionary work with Global Recording Network, right? GRN. Got to remember these things. But before we do that, I wanted to invite Christine Wilson to come and give our Bible reading today, which is 2 Corinthians 5, 11 to 21. Thank you, Christine.
The Ministry of Reconciliation. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what it seems rather than in what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who made no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Thank you, Christine. From one Christine to another, I'll invite Christine Platt to come up. And here is your clicker. Hopefully it works. If not, just point to the kid at the back and he'll do something.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. Well, it's lovely to be back again. I came to Musselbrook in 1990 as a cadet engineer at Liddell Power Station. And yeah, this church was very welcoming to me, and I was baptised while I was here, and I was involved in the youth ministry. And really, that youth ministry and the prayer ministry that happened before it, where this mob came from Sydney called Spirit Alive, and we prayed for Musselbrook and the local area. And then a bunch of people came up from Sydney and local churches got involved, and we travelled around the local area and we prayed. And then after that, lots of kids in Musselbrook started coming to the Bible study that we were running for kids, and lots of them became Christians. And that experience is a lot of the reason why I have gone on to be a missionary. And so I've got lots of really fond memories here, and I learnt an awful lot while I was here. So I left Musselbrook with great memories, and as I look back now, this place is still a really significant place in my spiritual journey. So I thank God for this church and for all of you. Now, that Bible verse that we just read, it's a pretty amazing Bible passage, isn't it? It shows that you know, we've got a really important job to do, and it shows that our job is so important that it's actually worth looking like a fool in order to do what God wants us to do. So if you have a look there at the beginning, you know, Paul says, we know the fear of the Lord and we try to persuade others. You know, we're known to God and, you know, he really wants them to be known to God as well. You know, he says, if we're not in our right mind, it's for God. And we're doing all that we're doing, even if it appears foolish, because we want people to be reconciled to God. So that is a pretty strong statement that's coming there from Paul about what's important about what we do. It goes on and it says, you know, we are compelled by the love of Christ. So, you know, so how compelled are you by the love of Christ in your day-to-day life? You know, he's convinced that one has died for all, Jesus died for everybody. You know, if you look around Musselbrook, 90% of those people wandering around are actually dead. They're dead spiritually. And we know Christ. We're alive. So he says he doesn't regard anybody from a human point of view. You know, you're like, I find I'm walking around the shopping centre. It's only if I'm actually thinking about it that I actually realise that about 1 in 10 of these people is alive and the rest of them are going to hell. You know, you don't often think of that when you are walking around the shops, but that's the reality, isn't it? And we've got this amazing news. I was at Reach Out Northwest yesterday, and Mike Rader was a speaker. It was a great conference. In 2 years' time, it'll be on in Moree. I suggest that you make the effort to go up to Moree and go to that conference. And he was talking about this famous atheist who was a magician. And some guy came up to him and gave him a New Testament and, you know, awkwardly explained that, you know, he's a Christian and he really wants him to know God. And this guy said that he actually respects Christian people who will try to convert him, because if they really believe it's true, well, they must actually hate people if they don't tell them about it. And that was the view of an atheist about, you know, most Christians who don't bother to tell anybody about Jesus. So, I mean, a lot of people who aren't Christians will also get upset if you tell them, but that is a point of view that an atheist has about Christians and how few of them bothered to actually tell him about Jesus. So it says in verse 18 that God reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. God has given me and you the ministry of reconciliation. And we are ambassadors for Christ, it says in verse 20. It's our job to be out there entreating people on behalf of God to be reconciled to him. And so that's a job, that's your job, and it's my job. And it's a really difficult job. I'm not pretending that I'm wonderful at it myself. I wouldn't consider myself an evangelist. But it is something that we're called to do. Now, at Global Recordings Network, part of our job is to help make that easier. So just imagine, is there a row here if there's 5 people at the front, could I ask you 5 people to stand up? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, so they represent all the people on the planet, right? Now, how many of them do you think learn by reading? Do you think all 5 of them learn by reading if they represent the entire planet? Okay, could one person, can you sit down please? Okay, so do 4 out of the 5 learn by reading? No? Okay, somebody sit down, yep. You stand up, yep. Okay, how about 3? Do 3 out of the 5 learn by reading? No? Okay, you're right, no one? How about 2 out of the 5? Do 2 out of the 5 people in the world learn by reading? No, it is 1.
But I listen
Okay, so one out of five learns by reading. So if I give one person a Bible out of five people in the world, they might read it if they're interested. The other four, if you give them a book, well, it's sort of like, well, what do I do with that? I'll stick it on the shelf because there's no way in the world I'm going to open it and read it. That's a pretty amazing statistic, isn't it? So let us go. Can I move?
Turn it on and off.
Okay, so go back. Yep. So four out of five people learn by hearing and seeing. Only one out of five learns by reading. Now, you might think, okay, well, we're in Australia, so it's a bit easier. Okay, so about half of you are on this side of the room and half of you are on this side of the room, right? That represents all of Australia. The people on this side of the room, they don't learn by reading. They don't read. This half of the room can't read well enough to get a newspaper and read it. That's in Australia. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? And the other half actually can. It doesn't mean they want to, but they're able to. So the Australian Bureau of Statistics released a survey in 2006 which said only 46% of the Australian population can read well enough to survive in normal society. They need help to do things like filling out forms. They need help to read a letter. They can't read a map. So that means even in Australia, if you give a Bible to half the population, again, they can't read it. So that's a pretty shocking statistic, isn't it? Is anybody surprised by that? Yeah. But the Australian government's actually telling us that, so I figure that they probably know. I was surprised when I saw that. And in the world, there's only half of the languages spoken in the world have got a Bible. So the other half have got no Bible, and they've got no Christian resources, most likely. And so again, how do we tell them about Jesus? That is the challenge that we face in this world. And so Globe Recordings Network, our job is to provide the gospel in minor language groups. Is there anybody here whose native language is not English? Yeah, what is your language?
Romanian.
Sorry?
Romanian.
So if I go into my Fifish app, which you heard us talking about earlier, I go into Fifish and I find Romania. Hello, I'm in South Africa. Romania. I don't need to know where it is. I've just got to be able to press the right buttons on the keyboard. Okay, so it's Romanian, is your language? I look for Romanian. Would it be Macedo-Romanian, Romani from Balkan or Carpathian? Oh no, Romanian, there's Romanian. Okay. Okay, they're going to play music forever. Oh, yeah.
Dumnezeu le vorbește oamenilor prin cartea sa.
Is that Romania?
Ea este yep. Cuvântul lui Dumnezeu.
So there you go. And that took me longer than it normally takes me. So that's how long it takes to get the phone speaking any of 6,700 different languages. And once I've got it speaking the language, I can then share it with somebody else using Bluetooth, or I can just tell them what the app's called and then they can get it on their phone. So we've got gospel messages in over 6,700 languages and speech varieties, and they are all there for you to use. Are there migrants in Musselbrook? Yeah. So if you can go up to them and you can say, I can probably get my phone talking your language. You know, you don't even have to know them very well to do that. And get their phone speaking their language, and I would imagine that at least half the time they'll want to put it on their phone. So that is a really easy way for you to evangelise. And if you've got grey hair, it's even easier, because most people from developing countries have got a lot of respect for old people. And so if they look at you and think you're old, they're going to be really polite. And so that is something that you can take advantage of. Try and get them to listen to the gospel. So we're telling the story of Jesus in every language. In Australia, we have got studios. We've got 6 professional studios. We're in the process of building 3 more. And so we've got recorders all over the world, and they send their recordings into us. Our studio people receive them. They check the technical quality, because we've got no idea what anybody's saying, apart from the English back translation they send us. But we can't understand the words, but we can see what they've done and see what the quality is, send them some feedback so they can do a better job next time. And so there's more of our studio team. And then our computer guys have done the FiveFish app. We've got a website. We've got 80 years of recordings which are stored. They are our crown jewels, and so we've got them in our server in Sydney, we've got them under somebody's bed in the Blue Mountains, we've got them in a server in the United States, and we've got them in the cloud. And so the objective is that we will survive a nuclear holocaust and our recordings won't be lost. So we really do want to keep them and not lose them. So our computer people do that, and they also make sure that everything's available in all the languages that people want them, and in the format that you want. You know, the technology's changing, and so we've had to go from cassettes to MP3s, and now we've got slideshows, and all the videos come in multiple formats, and those formats change all the time. So our computer people are always busy making sure we're up to date with whatever the technology is today. And you can access our recordings you can put them onto anything that makes noise. So we distribute lots of micro SD cards around the world. You can download them off the website. We've got FiveFish, and we've got our audio Bible. In Australia, a lot of people don't want to listen to the Bible on their phones, and they don't want to read it. As I said, if this is the entire world, this is all of Australia, you people, you need one of these, or you need to use your phone to hear the Bible, because you can't read well enough to read your Bible. And so this is a little MegaVoice player, solar-powered. Just leave it on the windowsill.
The book of Genesis.
We've got David Suchet reading it. Lovely English accent.
In the beginning.
And it's the entire Bible on here for $65. I've got 5 of them if you would like one today. But we also distribute these in developing countries, and we put the messages on them, and we distribute them in the picture books so people can play the messages and show the pictures. And it's one of the ways to distribute it where people don't have access to phones or other technology. And it's our year of FiveFish. This year, we are really trying to get the church in Australia to know about FiveFish. I think it's a great tool, because we've got messages in English as well as 6,700 other languages around the world. And I think that for somebody in Australia who doesn't read, our messages, they are simple Bible stories that give you an understanding of what the Bible says. And I think that for somebody who's interested and who's not academic, that our recordings would work really well to give them a basic idea. So I think you could use it here with your neighbours in English. So I would encourage you to download it. If you look at our banner, there's a couple of QR codes. One of those QR codes says download here. If you put your camera on that, it will take you straight to the page where you download the app. So it's really easy to do. So yeah, I reckon FireFish is useful here. So I encourage you to download it and to try it out. For the year of FireFish, we want to have over 100,000 users around the world using our app. At the moment, you can use the app in about 20 languages. We want to increase that to at least 40 by the end of the year. So we're looking for translators. If you were to go to our website, you would see the list of languages that we need help. And if you know somebody who speaks that language, who's got a bit of time, we could really use some help getting those languages translated for the FireFish app. So, yeah, I encourage you to have a look at the website and see whether you can help us. And we're also doing more recording around the world as well. Now, have people actually used the app and found it helpful? Well, that's a picture of Frank and Nayu in Myanmar. Frank works in our Sydney office, and they were going on a taxi ride in Yangon, which is a very crowded city where it takes you forever to get anywhere because of the traffic. And so they found out what language the taxi driver spoke, and they got the app talking while they were driving in the taxi. And so the taxi driver took the long way to get where they were going because he wanted to hear all of the message. And at the end of the message, he actually prayed with the guys to make a pronouncement of faith. So that was really encouraging. That happened there. And that is Sam Weeks. He is our new European director. He lives in France, and his neighbour comes from mainland China. And so he showed his neighbour our good news program on his phone, and the neighbour put it on his phone, and he and his wife listened. Sometime later, they had dinner together with the neighbours, and the guy just talked about what he'd heard on the phone for the entire meal. And today, that neighbour and his wife are going to church with Sam and his family. So, yeah, so that worked really well. So that's a couple of ways that people have used FireFish that I know of recently. And with these little divalakis, they've got raised buttons, and they work well for blind people as well. And Simon in our studio, he got one of these for his grandma, who's going blind and can't read a Bible anymore. And she absolutely loves it. She can listen to the Bible every day for as long as she likes. And yeah, she's just found it to be a wonderful thing. So yeah, I commend that to you as well. Now, how can you get involved? You can pray for us. There's a sign-up sheet at the back. If you would like to get our prayer notes and that every language that you got when you came in, we can send that to you by email or by snail mail. And then you can read about us and you can pray for us. You can also get my prayer letters as well. You can help us get the app translated into a language of somebody you know. And then there's some projects. And if you go to the website, you can find the projects that we've got. But, so this year we're doing the Year of FireFish, and we're doing lots of advertising for that just to try and get the word out about the app. And the Bible says, this is in Revelation, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, this is talking about Jesus, with your blood you purchased for God people from every tribe and language and people and nation. You know, there are going to be people in heaven from every nation. What we're doing at GRN is providing the tools so that people can hear the gospel in their own language. And yeah, I think that's exciting, and I invite you to be a part of it. So thank you very much.
and for 5 fish.